First of all, I want to thank my dear friend, Mr. Peterson, to encourage me to come to Jordan. He invited me to this conference. I had no idea about Salt Lake City and the LCD Church. So I thank him to encourage me to come here and to meet all these nice people and to participate in this conference. I cannot claim that I am presenting throughout research on the subject of the conference in this short paper of mine. My primary objective of participating in the conference is to listen to you, to enlighten myself with your thoughts, and to walk along with you for the sake of good. Finally, I will raise some ideas or questions or issues that can contribute to shedding more light on the subject of the conference. It seems, for the first instance, that these terms, which constitute the title of the conference, are homogeneous. Each one of them is a remarkable achievement and can be useful for the good of man and the humanity. However, the truth of the matter is that each of these terms is like an iceberg beneath which there are conflicting trends. Modern Christian literature commends democracy. For example, we can read in some Christian books, despite all its mistakes, democracy is the participation of all citizens in one way or another in the decision-making which affects their lives and the future. End of quotation. There is agreement that religion and democracy are seeking to give momentum to the progress of man and building the civil society. Christian theology believes that Christianity is a religion that can serve mankind. It is the religion which professes that God descended from heaven for the sake of man. Christianity means that we should devote our work for the love of God and for the love of man. Man's happiness is the main goal of human society. Democracy and religion are seeking to bring about man's happiness in a variety of ways. However, in the final analysis, these varieties are integrated, although differences and conflict might arise in the process of the application of this perception. Throughout the ages, religion has played an important role in the formation of civil society and political systems, and has laid down the foundation of social relationships. Examples of this are Judaism and Islam, and the impact of Christianity on the political system of the Roman state. So we can say that religion is a private matter. Meanwhile, mankind has sought to organize itself, to regulate the relationships among the individuals, and to lay down the foundation of civil society in a fashion that we cannot say that it was parallel with religious thought, but was at least supplementary, interlocked, and integrated with it. From the historic standpoint, religion was never restricted to worship, religious rite, or spiritual meditation, but has participated and contributed to the building of the political systems in the world. Needless to say, there should be a balance in our present day world between the inputs of the democratic thoughts and the output of the religious thought. The balance is the sounder and the preferable opinion for today's world, which cannot concede that its democracy and the rule of the people by the people themselves, while downsizing religion to pure rites and acts of worship. This balance is also necessary so as the formation of the civil society is not left to the parliaments and to the secular thought. On this issue, we should not start from square one, all the more so because throughout the ages, mankind has gained numerous experience on the relationship between religion and democracy and civil society. The only thing that we have to do is to build on this experience. I would like to give you some examples about the balance between religion and democracy, the fact to be private or public, the religion, particularly that the aim of this balance, to start with, is to achieve the general good of the civil society. Number one, democracy might introduce laws and regulations that violate human nature and undercut the traditional formation of the family, which was formed to start with according to religious perceptions. The question here is, how far should religious people comply with these laws and regulations in their personal conscience and public stance? 2. Most states and societies are advocating the enforcement of democratic methods of government. Here, a certain religion or its followers might step into play their cards in the political game by utilizing the religious convictions of the people in the community and the historic religious assets of these communities to serve the cause of democracy. Thus, by using democratic technique, they establish a government which is close to theocracy, which is the case of Iran. God, religion, or the religious establishment become the real governor or people. The people might continue to be the source of power in a democratic society, but within inherited religious and transcendental frameworks. In other words, democratic techniques are used for theocratic purposes, or the will and aspiration of the people are extirped within the religious framework. The final result, a government is a government that is religious in essence, but governed by a democratic framework. 3. Religious parties might access power through democratic instruments, and they are using religion that could be a private matter in the public sphere. These parties, political parties, we don't know, they are political and religious parties sometimes. These parties usually reassure the civil society about their goals. For example, Tunisian President Mounsef Al-Marzouki said in June 2012 in the Oasis Conference in Tunisia that, I quote him, "We in Tunisia are seeking to establish a society of freedom, particularly the freedom of conscience and religious freedom. The Tunisian citizens is a citizen of this country regardless of his faith, and he should not suffer because of his faith or beliefs. Freedom is my goal, the goal of the revolution, and the goal of all the Tunisians. We still have to travel on a long road, but we will work together for the achievement of this noble goal." End of quotation. We will have to wait to see and evaluate the experiment of the Ennahda party, which is a religious term reference. The question here is whether the Ennahda party can guarantee the freedom of expression and religious freedom against the intrusion of religious thoughts, or can religion, its institutions and parties guarantee the freedom of religion and conscience. One of the writers said in the progress of his comments on the Arab Spring that there is a controversial relationship between religion and politics, a controversial relation between the private and the public. He said in this regard, I quote him, I wish that religion would reach the politicians and the clerks would not access politics. If you are clerks, which means men of religion, then you should not become involved in politics. And if you are politicians, the clerks, it is my right not to choose you because of my religious beliefs. End of quotation. This assessment affirms the likelihood of conflict among religion, politics, and the formation of the civil society. Number four. Religious faith has made a significant contribution to the resistance against the overall religious laws have the divine touch because they are inspired by God. Man is incapable of revoking, changing, replacing, or amending these because they are emanating from religious conscience. In the final analysis, they are binding to him because they come from God. Whatever is religious can be classified within the realm of the absolute. The question here is whether the absolute includes the religious beliefs in general, or does it also include the religious details? Meanwhile, there is the civil society, which is entitled to enacting legislation in the name of the people by using democratic instruments. Whatever is democratic is a relative thing, while the presence of religion and religious and non-religious people in society is a fact. What is the solution then? Shall we propose that religion should upgrade its belief to become compatible with democracy and to the civil society? The option seems to be difficult because in this case we would be trying to upgrade religion by human intervention that comes from outside the divine inspiration. Or shall we leave religion alone and then develop a parallel social thought? Or shall we propose that the ceiling of civil and social diligence should be the religious ceiling and tell democracy and its followers that you can elect your officials and enact laws for your people, but you are not allowed to go behind the ceiling of religion? In this formula of coexistence, the likely solution that we create a balance between religious laws and civil law in the civil society, which has a history of deeply rooted religious culture. That is the formula of coexistence between the absolute and the relative form of historic and futuristic standpoints. In this issue, we are not proceeding from vacuum or from square one. All peoples have their own experiments and conclusions, and we can research and upgrade the relation by working together. Number six, religion, democracy, and civil society. These are three ingredients. However, there is a fourth ingredient upon which the former three concepts are standing. If we talk in the Middle East about religion, law, and civil society, the people listening to this thought, they will ask, what about the land? The fourth ingredient is the land for us in the Middle East. I am referring here to the problematical situation of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. The Palestinians view this land as Palestinian, while the Israeli view it is as an Israeli land. There is no doubt that the religious heritage of the two parties has given this land a special Islamic Jewish characteristic. There is also the Christian dimension of the land. The question here is whether the religion is a part of the problem or a part of the solution. So the religion is no more in the Middle East a private matter. Israel has established, as it is said, a democratic state, and the only democratic state in the Middle East. Although there is now embryonic democracies that were created by the Arab Spring. Israel's democracy has built a wall separating it from the Palestinians and the Israelis, And the Israelis have imprisoned the Palestinians behind the wall. But in the same meanwhile, the Israeli have imprisoned themselves, and both of them, they are acting in religious understanding of the problem. How can we build a human society and the wall at the same time? We have the Palestinians and the Israelis. Each one of them is sustaining pain and causing pain to the other. Can we at one day in the future reach a degree of spirituality and a human maturity whereby the four components of religion, democracy, civil society, and the land become the components of a society in which justice and love prevail, a society where a human dignity and the dignity of each person is respected, even he is Israeli or Palestinian, Muslim, Christian, or Jew. Finally, I do not believe that this conference of ours will find the magic idealistic solutions for the relationship that should link religion, democracy, and civil society, and in our case, in the Middle East, the land. But it will surely reveal the enormity of the issue and the heavy responsibility which the conferees should shoulder. Perhaps we can make a joint effort to study the experience of the people and religions as they apply to this conference of ours. We will undoubtedly reach some findings and diagnose some of the problems and difficulties, and then make the proposals and constructive perceptions on this issue. I wish this conference good luck. Thank you very much.